Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Shapmapyayvam samidvam sam.
Shapmapyayvam
Brahmana Chanu Mantritaha. Karma Santa Vayam Asa.
Karma Santa Vayam Asa.
Sopadya Yart Vig Hadibi. Translation, but no purport. The great sage Maitreya said, as being pardoned by Lord Shiva, King Daksha, along with the permission of Lord Brahma, again began the performance of the yajna, along with the great learned sages, the priests, and others. Text 17. Vaishnavam yajna santayanai sa tri kapayam dvidotama puro purodasam iravapan virasam sarga shudaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, in order to resume the activities of the sacrifice, the Brahmins first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Parodhasha. Purport. Lord Shiva's followers and devotees, headed by Virabhadra, are known as Viras, and they are ghostly demons. Not only do they pollute the entire sacrificial area, arena, by their very presence, but they disturb the whole situation by passing stool and urine. Therefore, the infection they had created was to be first purified by the method of offering Parodasha oblations. A Vishnu yajna, or an offering to Lord Vishnu, cannot be performed uncleanly. To offer anything in an unclean state is called a seva aparadha. The worship of the Vishnu deity in a temple is also a Vishnu yajna. In all Vishnu temples, therefore, the priests who take care of the archana vidhi must be very clean. Everything should be always kept neat and clean, and the food sub should be prepared in a neat and clean manner. All these regular principles are described in the Nectar of Devotion. There are 32 kinds of offenses in discharging archana seva. It is required, therefore, that one may be extremely careful not to be unclean. Generally, whenever any ritualistic ceremony is begun, a holy name of Lord Vishnu is first chanted in order to purify the situation. Whether one is in a pure or an impure condition, internally or externally, if one chants or even remembers the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, one immediately becomes purified. The yajna arena was desecrated by the presence of Lord Shiva's followers, headed by Virabhadra, and therefore the entire arena had to be sanctified. Although Lord Shiva is present and he is all auspicious, it is still necessary to sanctify the place because his followers have broken into the arena and have committed so many obnoxious acts. That sanctification was possible only by chanting the holy name of Vishnu. It is admitted herein that the followers of Lord Shiva are generally unclean. They are not even very hygienic. They do not take... Since they are present in the sacrificial arena, the atmosphere became polluted and it had to be sanctified by Tri Kapala oblations, which indicate the invocation of Vishnu's favor. So the translation again. Thereafter, in order to resume the activities of the sacrifice, the Brahmins first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Parodasha. Mam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatunde Vegoravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Pasya Jade Sitarne. So although the mode of goodness or cleanliness is material in one sense, but it is one of the qualifications to properly perform sacrifices. Just like, for instance, if we want to fly, as I've given this analogy before, if we want to fly from here to, say, Perth, the best way of flying from here to Perth is to go to the airport and take a plane from here to Perth. Go to the Melbourne airport and take a plane. Now, if one decides that it's too much trouble to go to the airport and decides to go on the top of the roof of the temple here and to try to get an airplane passing by, putting out one's thumb and hope that one airplane will stop and pick us up, we can try that, but it may take a long time before you get a ride. Similarly, in order to reach transcendence, generally one first goes to the mode of goodness, and then from the mode of goodness one can catch a plane to the spiritual consciousness. Therefore, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a sequence to reach the mode of goodness. In the 18th chapter, that sequence is summarized from Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga to Dhyana Yoga. And finally, as without going through all the verses, Buddha Vishuddha Yukto Vishatmana Niyamyacha Shabdadin Vishan Tyaktva Shabdadin Vishan Tyaktva Ragadvesha Vyudasyacha Vivikta Deshalagvasi Yatavakaya Manasa Dhyana Yoga Puro Nityam Vairagya Samapashitya Ahankaram Balam Darpam Karma Krodha Purigraham Vimucha Nimuna Shanto Brahma Vuyaya Kalpate. So for those who don't know Sanskrit, we'll give a translation. Buddha Vishuddha Yukto, being purified by the intelligence and controlling the mind with determination. Buddha Vishuddha Yukto Chitatmana Niyamyacha Shabdadin Vishyan Tyaktva, giving up the objects of the senses. One who sits in a secluded place, who controls his mind and senses, gives up lust and anger, who is always meditating upon the Supreme Lord, he comes with the Brahma Buddha platform. And what is the Brahma Buddha platform? Brahma Buddha Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Para. That Prasanatma. Prasan means joyful, and Atma, a joyful soul. Prabhupada gives not exactly joyfulness, but a sense of freedom from the distress of hankering lamentation. There are only two types of activities in the material world for the conditioned soul. Either the soul is hankering for what it doesn't have, or it's lamenting over what it lost. And when one is no longer hankering, lamenting, then one feels a sense of relief. Just like when one is in prison for many years, if they let you out of prison, then you feel, how nice is the world. But Brahma Buddha platform, where one is no longer hankering and lamenting, and is treating everyone as a spiritual soul, is not the ultimate platform of spiritual attainment. It's the preliminary requisite to come into devotional service. Therefore, Krishna says, Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That when one actually comes to the platform of Brahma Buddha, then there is some possibility of performing devotional service with bhakti. That's where we're putting our attention and giving our love. And no matter how much, what dhoti or sari we wear, it doesn't matter what address we live at or what our dress is, as long as we're hankering, lamenting, then we're actually in material consciousness. When we give up hankering, lamenting, that doesn't necessarily mean we're in spiritual consciousness. We may be in even Brahma-Buddha consciousness, aware of ourselves as a spiritual being, but actual spiritual consciousness begins when one performs activities for Krishna's pleasure under the direction of Krishna's representatives. Then that activity becomes actually spiritual. And bhaktimam abhijananti yavinyas chasmin tatvata. And then gradually one comes to the platform of understanding things as they actually are. Therefore, devotional service actually begins at the platform of liberation. As long as one is on the hanker-lamenting platform, then one is not actually liberated, one is on the Kanista Adhikari platform and performing the activities of devotional service with the goal of relieving distress or gaining economic development or material comfort or satisfying one's inquisitiveness or trying to get relief completely from all material problems. So this is not actually pure devotional service, but devotional service on the Kanista Adhikari or the Prakriti, the materialistic platform. Therefore, although we may be in the bodily identification, although we may be on the material platform, but we're supposed to perform devotional service on the spiritual platform. And that begins with Ishre Tadadineshu Bulishesu Dvitsatsu Cha Prema Maitri Kripo Peka Yat Karoti Samadhimaha. And it begins with trying to love Krishna. So here it says service to Krishna has to be done from the brahminical platform, generally speaking. That we have this Samadhamma Tapasocham Shanti Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Sabhavajam. That devotional service is performed generally on the brahminical platform. Of course, Arjuna, he was fighting, he was acting as a kshatriya and performing devotional service, but actually he was on the purified platform because he was not hankering for his own regard. He was not lamenting for himself. At the beginning of Arjuna, he was lamenting that he had to kill his friends and relatives, and then he was hankering to get out of the battlefield. But when he began to perform his activities for Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, then there was no more hankering and lamenting. So it was actually on the spiritual platform. He went beyond the material concept of life to the spiritual concept of life, to the concept that he was Krishna's eternal servant and agreed to perform his activities to satisfy Krishna. And therefore, although it was not considered it a mode of goodness activity, killing people, but he was acting on the spiritual platform. But generally, samadhamma tapasocham, the qualities of equanimity, sense and mind control, peacefulness, tolerance, cleanliness, and scriptural knowledge, applied religiosity, these are characteristic of the mode of goodness. Of the two most important, the Prabhupada points out, are truthfulness and cleanliness. Truthfulness ultimately means to accept the fact that we're Krishna's servant. We can be so-called truthful and at the same time think that we're the proprietors of this world. You can't be an honest thief. There's no such thing. A group of thieves, they got together and they robbed a bank. And after coming to the hideout, the head thief stands up and says, "My dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, I only have one request to all you glorious thieves. Please, please, I beg of you, let us divide the money up honestly." So it's a contradiction to say there is such a thing as an honest thief. So as long as one does not identify oneself as Krishna's servant, as long as one is not aware of what Krishna wants us to do with his assets, as long as we're not willing to do those activities, as long as we're not willing to do those activities to please Krishna, then to some degree or another we're thieves. And therefore there is an element of dishonesty there, no matter how much we think we're telling the truth. Therefore, actual truthfulness is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is illusory, and it's part of a big lie. If I dress myself up as I'm just dressing up as the good fairy, because we're dressing up as the bad fairy. These material bodies are bad fairies. And we're claiming ourselves to be something that we're really not. Therefore, we have to be honest with ourselves and admit that I'm actually Krishna's servant and be willing to find out what Krishna wants me to do, and then be willing to do that and do it to please Krishna and his associates. So that's called honesty. And then cleanliness means that my mind, my senses, my words, everything has to be clear, clean. Deva dvija kuru pragya pujanam socham arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsam cha shariram tapa uchate. It's not that I'm just acting, you know, as Prabhupada once said. There was a movement within our society by the heads of the society, the GBC at that time. They decided that they were going to centralize all the finances within ISKCON. And they held a meeting, they elected a new GBC member who was going to be the Minister of Finance, and he was going to centralize all the money, and that way they'd have good financial activities within ISKCON. So Prabhupada wasn't informed about it, the other GBCs weren't informed about it. Prabhupada thought that this was not a proper way of dealing with the management in ISKCON. He disbanded the GBC for some time and wrote a letter to the temple president saying, you don't have to follow the GBC, because they weren't following them anyhow. But Prabhupada just made it official at that time. And said, you should just take direction directly from me. So the devotees Prabhupada wrote letters to the GBC. And you see, to one GBC he wrote, I see that you're making these big, big plans to centralize everything. But the important things I see that your GBC meetings are not actually discussing. Because I've noticed that before they eat prasadam, the devotees are not washing their hands. Probably after they don't wash their hands either. But I'm noticing that even before they eat, they don't wash their hands. So why don't you discuss this? This is actually important. Change of consciousness is actually important. Socham, cleanliness. So cleanliness means washing our hands before we eat, taking a shower regularly, having clean clothes, etc. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya. That is, and also having the proper worship. As it mentions here, that the sacrifice of Vishnu should actually be done in a clean state. Pujanam, socham, cleanliness, arjavam, and simplicity. Brahmacharya, celibacy, ahimsa, non-violence. These are the austerities in the mode of goodness of the body. But then there is austerity. Our words should also be on the platform of austerity or clean. And therefore Krishna also gives, our words should be proper. How we speak should be proper. Not only what we say we should be proper, but how we say it. Not that we say, I love you, you rascal. No, it should also be done in the proper way. Therefore, Krishna says that Swadhyaya, as it goes, that the Anuvega Karam Vakyam, Anuvega Karam Vakyam, Satyam Priyahitam Chaya, Swadhyaya Vyasanam Chaiva, Vangmaya Tapa Uchate. That our steady speech is that anuvegam. Anu, of course, means continuously, and vegam means pushing. Karam vakyam. So one should not agitate the minds of others. Krishna starts with that. Satyam. What we say should be truthful. Priya should be pleasing. It should be satyam. Priyahitam, it should be beneficial, chaya, and it should follow the Vedic scripture. Anuvega karam vakyam, satyam priyahitam chaya, swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva. So we have to study swadhyaya. Actually, swa means the self, and vyana means to know the self. So we should know that we're Krishna's eternal servants. Otherwise, we don't know the scripture. If we don't know the self, we don't know that we're spiritual beings, and we don't know that Krishna is God, then our so-called study of the scripture is ultimately a waste of time. So study of the scripture is then to convince us of that. So we have our speech should be according to that reality. And it should be pleasing and beneficial and true, and at the same time shouldn't agitate the minds of others. At the same time, our minds should be also purified. If our activities are purified, if our intelligence or our words are purified, then our minds should also be purified. Manak prasadam somya tvam monamatma vinigraha bhava samshudiya ityetad tapo manasam uchate. So, manak prasad, one should be satisfied. If one is not satisfied, then obviously he's going to be dissatisfied. And if one is in Krishna consciousness, then one is satisfied simply by thinking about Krishna. And if one is not thinking about Krishna, then we'll always be dissatisfied. We may try to make so many arrangements in this material world to find satisfaction, but unless we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then the mind will never be satisfied. We won't be satisfied. Manak prasadam samyatvam monam or samyatvam equanimity. And if our minds are always running here and there, always disturbed, then there's no question of thinking about Krishna, and therefore one cannot be satisfied. Monam. Gravity. One should always talk about Krishna. One should always and not talk about anything else. If we start talking about other things, then of course our minds will be agitated and we won't be satisfied because we won't be thinking about Krishna. Atma vinigraha, and the mind should be fixed in Krishna consciousness. But if we wash our hands, we follow the principles of brahminical life, then it's much more likely than our mind will try to fix our words also. If we're not hankering and lamenting for more material things, we're following the regular principles of devotional service, especially brahmacharya and socham and pujam and ahimsa, then because our minds will be peaceful, therefore we can think about what we're saying and to who we're saying it and how to say it. And then the mind will become peaceful. It will become satisfied by being in Krishna consciousness. And therefore we can control it with determination and it will become grave, etc., etc. And that's the platform of Krishna consciousness. If one believes that one is going to become Krishna conscious by some other means, I can eat anything I want, I can say anything I want, I can do anything I want, I don't have to wash my hands, the sink is at least 20 feet away, it's too far away. I check my hands, they look clean. Then, just by disobedience to these principles, just by not being brahminical, just by acting the modes of ignorance and passion, one's mind will become swept away, just like the strong wind, a boat on the water, as it says, Indriyanim Hicharitam, Yanmano Nuvidiyate, Tadasya Harati Pragya, Vayorna Vami Vambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's passion, following them to please Krishna, and therefore always having the mind fixed upon Krishna. As soon as we stop doing that, then our intelligence is swept away, and along with our intelligence, our mind is swept away from Krishna, and we're in material consciousness. Of course, we may be used to being in material consciousness, and it feels completely natural. It feels strange when we're in Krishna consciousness, when our minds are not being swept away by the objects of the senses that we're looking around at. Still, by the practice of sadhana bhakti and by getting some taste for devotional service, then one may find oneself in a position that sometimes one is actually meditating upon Krishna, getting the higher taste, and then one can see the difference between an agitated mind and a Krishna conscious mind. And then, therefore, one will become more strict in brahminical behavior, more strict in how one expresses one's activities in this material world, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and one will become fixed in Krishna consciousness and make steady, intelligent progress towards becoming an actual lover of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Yeah.
Agitated people obviously influences me.
Yeah, and therefore you add to it. You add to the collection.
What is the easy way, or what is the way I can control my mind, not getting agitated when I'm putting that up in the world?
Well, the same way you can do it anywhere, by following Krishna's instructions. Instructions coming down in the simple succession. For one thing, we don't have to follow the mind. We have to fix our minds upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So that means we should perform our activities as a devotional service to Krishna. We have to remember everything belongs to Krishna, find out what Krishna wants us to do from his book and from his representatives, do that to please him, and then we'll remember him. And if we remember him, then our minds won't be agitated. And if we're remembering him, even if the mind is agitated, we won't be agitated. We won't be drawn away by whatever the mind is trying to draw us away to. And so Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives us a lot of information about how to control the mind, but the main way is by, you know, doing devotional service. Do our activities out of devotion under Krishna and his representative's guidance. And when we think about Krishna, then the mind won't become agitated. Anything else? Yes.
The way that Prabhupada explained Krishna consciousness is, you know, like his writing style is like quite different to his gurus.
I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And Prabhupada's writing is, I guess, more, in a sense, simple, but the language.
Yeah.
So then, how do you understand that if we're following the footsteps of our spiritual masters?
Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said the same thing as Srila Prabhupada was saying. He just said it in a way that we can understand it, seemingly understand it more easily. But it's not that everything that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wrote we can't understand. Just that sometimes he wrote very intellectually. Just to demonstrate, for instance, that we're not a sentimental movement, that we actually have some philosophy. But whatever, the absolute truth, the gopis, you know, they're making curd and yogurt for Krishna. Not that they're great scholars, seemingly, but they know the essence of philosophy is they should do everything to please Krishna. So ultimately the reality is quite simple. Yeah, of course they have individuality. I never saw any devotee merge into a spiritual master. No, the first individuality is the essence. Whatever we have, first of all, this materialistic manifestation that we're in, called our material body, gross and subtle, is not us. It's not a manifestation of our individuality. It's a manifestation of the modes of material nature that we acquired due to our misuse of our material desires. That's not the manifestation of our individuality. But in any case, the soul has individuality, but that's manifested when it's engaged in devotional service. But the orders of the simple succession are to engage the energies that we already have and engage to learn how to do it out of devotion for Krishna, according to what Krishna desires with his energies. So our individuality is not manifested by our not following Krishna's instructions. That's called rebelliousness. It's by utilizing the energies in Krishna's service, especially in this age, and to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. That's the manifestation of our individuality. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.